Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end.
Huh, Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
Yeah, yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geek Enders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Dodger, what up? Let's go. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow and see what the Geek Enders are all about. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Geekenders. It is May the 29th, nearly the end of May. We're almost halfway through the year. Don't think about it too hard. And we've got an amazing, lovely guest I'm so excited to have on, Freem. Thank you so much for joining us, buddy.
Hi. Thank you for having me.
Of course, of course. Yeah, we were just talking about ARAMs. We're talking about wiping glasses. We covered a lot of stuff without you guys. I'm so sorry.
Yeah, important things. Very
really important,
important
things.
Yeah. Some say podcast dependent. Like, without it, why even have a show?
Well, everybody's always like, I'm so sad you guys don't do the sound check on stream anymore because we're missing the good stuff. And just so you know, mere seconds ago, we were talking about whether you should go really hard cleaning your glasses.
Yeah. And I did. I went very hard. Some say the hardest on my glasses.
Not hard enough.
Right. No, but then we discovered mediocre. Not clean enough.
Not clean enough.
Story of my life. Dirty. Old dirty Jesse, they call me.
As me and Duke still stay here anticipating what you were going to say. Behind the curtains, and we're waiting.
Is that a news thing? Or
oh no, it's not news. It's
Jesse teased us with a thing.
Yeah, he teased us with a thing, and now I can't stop thinking about it.
For those of you who are like, but what did you really talk about besides glasses and ska? Well, I found a thing just immediately, a Street Fighter VI thing, where I realize. Sometimes the addition of a brand new, like, character customizer thing you can do in Street Fighter ends up giving you this. And I'm just going to stick the link in chat for everyone to look at. Please enjoy. It is just about the best thing ever. There's a brand new character.
What?
And so using her character moveset made a very hairless man do pretty amazing moves. Street Fighter VI rules. That's all I'm saying. I saw that and started giggling because it is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my entire life.
You could have given me 1,000 guesses.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't have known.
Which is why I said I'd save it. Because that's where I'm at. That's the energy I'm bringing today and into the future. As a little hairless man.
You want to be this man.
Yeah, I want to get so hairless, but I want giant eyebrows that go over my glasses, and then I want to twirl for you. Twirl.
For those listening, Rock Lee level thick brows, okay? You got to understand how thick these are.
Thick Cheetos on the face.
Yeah.
They're gigantic.
Cheetos is a good characteristic for that. Yeah. Cheeto eyebrows. Mm-hmm. Fuzzy caterpillars, one could say.
Yeah, frictionless is the way this body frictionless. Looks. Frictionless.
Yes.
And that's how I want to be in life.
Down, a friction. Slip and slide. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, I want to be able to gain 2 or 3 seconds while doing some sort of underwater race frictionless. I want to be like, peak performance professional swimmer level of frictionless.
Right. Like, where does I that just actually matter?
Like a torpedo.
If you have hair?
It does.
They shave their bodies. Professional swimmers do. Yeah. Because somehow itty bitty hairs keep them from going at max speed.
It's all about like microseconds too. So if you can beat someone because you shaved, they'll do it. Which is, yeah, it's all about the hair drag. But I want that. But I also want, for the sake of cleanliness too, I want to douse myself hand sanitizer, and then I want to be hairless, and then I want to like ooze around on the floor like I'm so clean.
Hand sanitizer out of anything you could have chosen, hand sanitizer? That doesn't seem moisturizing at all.
That's because it's clean.
So I
don't want to be moisturized.
I do feel like
you want to burn.
so that Freem has context for you as a person. Jesse takes 2 showers a day. Earlier on when he was like, yeah, the dirty life is for me. It could not be more opposite.
He's
an extremely clean, minimal person. So, so I believe that his daydream is, I take a shower in the morning and a shower in the evening. What if in the middle of the day I got to just dive into a pool of hand sanitizer with my lovely hairless body?
Well, hold on a minute. Let's be very clear, though.
Okay. Sure. Please clarify.
The shower situation.
Yeah.
In the morning, I need it in order to wake up. It's just a fact. I've worked out in the morning and I need to do it. Or at night, I work out, then I need to shower. It isn't a shower twice every day. Just many days. Just many of those days. But not every day. Sometimes it's one shower. And you might say, but Jesse, that seems performative. Sure. Yeah, whatever, but I'm still going to do it because that likes me to hot water and it feels good on my body. So piss right off, internet. That's what I say.
So does that mean you would preheat your hand sanitizer before dipping in it?
Oh.
If you like hot water?
No, because I like hot water. I don't know that I like hot, although I've never tried hot oil. And I feel like there's something very erotic about that.
You were
going to
say hot
that.
Hand sanitizer. I was going to say, I don't know that anybody's had hot hand sanitizer.
Well, I don't know. Yeah.
I feel like if you leave hand sanitizer in a car long enough during a hot summer day, maybe you got that.
But then it smells like absolute hell.
Yeah, it smells like
ass. It smells bad. Yeah.
So you'd have to take a shower afterwards. So instead of a cold
bath, but I'd be fine with
you to shock yourself and be like cold hand sanitizer.
Yeah, I don't. Sometimes I get in the shower and it's really hot. And I'm like, I'm like, ooh, it's so hot. And then at the end, I turn it as cold as possible. Then I stand under the shower.
Every shower.
Yeah.
And then I stand under the shower like I'm in one of those music videos where I'm crying. And I'm like, oh, no, she left me. But I stand under it and I get like really cold and I get a shower. And I'm like, ooh, it's great. All I'm saying is the only thing that can make this better in my life, if I had multiple showerhead money. You know what I mean? Where I could like install a bathroom that had like 30 shower heads. And whenever I got in it, I got blasted like I was at a riot. Just like, oh, that's what I want.
When I was a kid, I really did think like if I saw one of those showers that had, like the waterfall shower on the ceiling and then one on the wall that was angled, I assumed that people turned on both at the same time. As an adult, I now know that typically you pick one. But I like imagining that if you had that, Jesse, you would turn on both.
That's what I want. I want fire hose level. I want to get hit from every angle. I want to get, like, I imagine it uses a ton of water, which is why I need multiple showerhead money, because it would probably be a waste. But, my God, every time I've seen one of those, one time I was in a hotel years ago that had one, and I'm not lying when I say,
yes.
I took a shower at every convenient moment. I was like back in the shower. Like I was just like, oh, it was blasting me. And I was just like feeling like I was in an Irish Spring commercial or one of those like, what was the hair thing that gave everyone orgasms? What was that?
What?
Herbal essences.
Herbal essences. Yes. Yeah, Herbal Essence, when they would be like, oh, that's what it's like for me, but
the original
shower
food
everywhere.
Wars. Yeah.
That's the original food wars.
They'd sit down to get their hair washed and they'd be transported to another world, man. Mm, it was crazy.
Yep. That's all I want in this world. I don't want much. I just want a shower. Ooh, and then it's got a skylight and plants.
Okay, I think you're describing a car wash now for the human body at this point.
Yo, that's exactly what I want.
And they can
I
set
want
you
one
up
attendant
and,
as well.
One attendant.
Yeah. Like every time
only
I go to take a shower, they try
wash.
To upsell me.
Yep.
Yeah, oh, they try to upsell okay. me one on person. Their like $150 car wash. Yeah, yeah, yeah. They're like, mm-hmm.
Oh, but
are you sure you don't want it?
But kind of like your phone, and it kind of like, you know, it picks up on what you're saying. It's like, I heard that you were talking about hot oils. Do you want to add the hot oil package this time? That's a $12.99,
you
know, but now you can be
maybe I do.
In it. Yeah, maybe.
But just
you
imagine
do.
That's a dude though, instead of your phone. Like think yeah. about like again, that's multiple
What's
showerhead money. Oh, his name? Stevie.
Stevie?
Oh, I trust little Stevie. Okay. I trust Stevie.
I call him
the
little
hot
Stevie.
Oil package.
Yeah, little Stevie. He's a short king.
Package.
Yeah. He's like, are you sure you don't want the hot oil package today, Jesse? And I'm like, I don't know, Stevie. He's like, all right, well, I'll be here for you.
He's just a nice guy
that
shows up to do his job, you know?
Yeah. His hands are always oiled. He's ready.
He just wants to get paid. Yeah.
His hands are probably so soft.
This whole endeavor is about job creation. This is what I'm here to bring people along with me on this journey.
Right. Yeah. AI can't replicate that. Stevie mm-hmm. is a
it's
very
true.
Important job.
AI can't mm-hmm. can't take yeah. every job, okay?
Yep.
AI can't oil me up, that's for sure.
So true. beautiful.
W Stevie. All the Stevies in chat.
We love you, Cam.
Every Stevie in chat. You guys are the goats. Hard workers.
Hell yeah.
Freem, how you doing?
I'm
How's
good,
your week been?
I'm good. Good. Very busy. Never a dull moment in this world of creation and doing a bunch of random shit on the internet. How about you guys?
Doing okay. It's been hot as balls here. I don't know.
I think it's been hot around in the entire world now. Global warming, am I right?
It's been a little nasty. So we've had children here like every day.
There's a problem.
Without the kids, it would be fine. You add 10 degrees on the more
kids
when there's
are like
children.
10, 20 degrees. Yeah, it's tough.
They're like little furnaces. The more they accumulate, that gets hotter.
Right. We've got these tiny, like basically like miniature mosquitoes called midges. And so we're all getting bit up by midges. So that's been awesome.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
They're not like horse flies that take like a chunk out of you, right?
No, they
okay, thank
their
God.
Bites. Their bites look suspiciously like flea bites. So whenever I start getting them, I'm like, fleas. But it's not fleas.
Fleas
it's just
are scary.
Midges.
Fleas and ticks are scary, dude.
Yeah. Ugh. Fleas and ants. Those are the two things that I still have nightmares about all the time. I have flea nightmares and one time some people watching will have been around long enough to remember this, but one time we had such a bad ant infestation in my old house with roommates in Los Angeles that I went to put on a pair of trousers and there were ants in the trousers.
And ants in your pants?
Ants in your pants.
Ants in your pants?
No, and then there's a children's game called Ants in Your Pants, and I don't know how many of those got sent to me as a goof, but too many. I had so many of that fucking game.
It was Holy whatever shit. The number was, it was the appropriate amount. Let's be clear.
At least Maybe how many ants in more. Your pants worth, probably.
Mm-hmm. It was so I was a little traumatized by that, and I have nightmares about that now. I have nightmares about putting on clothing and there being ants inside of the clothing.
What about the hit animated film Ants? You have nightmares about that? That's kind of scary as a kid.
Bro, that what the difference between that and Bug's Life is
Bug's
so
life?
So crazy.
Oh my
like
God.
Ants?
I like how you called it the hit anime. I don't know that it was a hit.
Dude, it was, I don't know, maybe
Oscar award winning animated feature
everywhere.
Film, Ants?
I don't
Ants
think that
performed
that
better
true.
In Canada than Bug's Life, surprisingly.
What? That's yeah, so shocking.
Like, I saw that more than Bug's Life, and I was like, what the hell? I literally thought Bug's Life was, like, based off of Ants because, like, of how popular so Ants funny. Was growing up. And I was like, this
that was
is
during
terrifying.
That weird time where, like, all of Hollywood decided to double up. Where yeah. if a script was like, there's a script floating around about an asteroid hitting Earth, multiple movies were made. That's why yeah. we had like Deep Impact and whatever yeah. the hell the other one, Armageddon at the same time. And then like every time we get, like we got the Bug's Life and then Ants, mm-hmm, they had a whole mm-hmm. series of them. It's crazy.
Yep.
I don't understand that either, because surely it's a bad business decision to be like, what if we directly competed with another movie? What if we just fun. Cut both of our audiences in half for no reason? Yep. Like, it just seems so strange to me.
I don't.
Yeah, I think.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I remember
Chad's got
that.
It. Volcano and
Dante's Peak. Yeah,
Dante's Peak. Yeah, the Twister movies, all the movies that are about like tornadoes and stuff. Yeah, there was and oh, especially the ice ones where it was like ice oh, destroyed the world.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know why that was. I feel like it's the same. I obviously it's not because it's Hollywood and it's multi-millions, mm-hmm. but I feel like it's the exact same thought process as when you see a YouTuber cover a topic and then suddenly there's a bunch of videos that are the exact same video because
yeah.
everyone's trying to get in on the hype of that moment
right.
really quickly.
Any gotcha that game that app. Releases.
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, that's so true.
Or when something like one guy posts is, I hate this thing, and then everyone else is like, dude, popular guy posted, I hate this thing. I too yep. hate it.
I'm
going
hate
to get those views as
thing.
Well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I was watching a video that just offhandedly mentioned Mr. Beast. And there was a huge conversation in the comments about like the way that people will copy aspects of Mr. Beast's thumbnails. And yep. whether they're mm-hmm. doing that with the intention of making kids think that they are Mr. Beast, or if they're doing it with the intention of a viewer of any age, assuming based on like the text and the style of the thumbnail that it will be similar to Mr. Beast, which I thought was an interesting conversation, like whether or not, I don't know that they really actively think about this
I mean,
necessarily, but
the real thing I can kind of deduce from all of this is that everyone probably assumes that Mr. Beast algorithmed the hell out of his thumbnail like he does all of his content. Yeah. And so everything from the look, the colors, the text, the font, location of face, et cetera, is all done in a way. Because that man, look, he might have a personality, but as far as I'm aware, his entire personality is how, yeah, it's like, how do I make the most money humanly possible off of thing? That's it.
Yep.
As far as I can tell, every interview I've seen with him, he literally is like, how do I make the most money off of this?
Mm-hmm.
And so I guarantee it's all businessified. And so no one making those, I don't think they're doing it for creative reasons. I genuinely think they're like, well, he figured it out, so I'll do the same thing. It's like when MatPat cracked yep. the algorithm code back in 2017, and everyone started copying the way he formatted videos.
Oh, God, I remember that. Holy shit.
And, like, that's, I mean, it's just people will follow that real quick because
yeah.
it's like, I didn't have to think about it. Someone else did it. Great. Let's do that now. Like, you can see, like, there's tons of videos where, and you, and like, YouTube personalities, we can see what their old content was and then what they've started over the last 3 years. And it's so different, but so very, like, skewed as one thing, like you know, oh, we sneak into amusement parks or we do weird house tours or like, but it's all things that are like, ah, I have money, watch my videos.
Yep. I mean, I have firsthand experience on the thumbnail part of it, just like through gacha games and stuff. Like there was an actual trend of like everyone who was doing like gacha game coverage were trying to actually like copy what was working for other people for thumbnails. Like it's the font, it's the text, it's the pop, it's the contrast. And so like, oh,
having
this
one
works.
Little red arrow.
Yep. One little red arrow or the tier list on the corner. Everyone was like, oh, this person got 100K views on it. I'm going to take that. And I'm like, cool, innovation. That's cool. You see something you like, use it. Like originality is hard to come by. We're all copying off someone at one point or another, we see inspiration from everything, right? And, you know, technically, you know, imitation is some sort of flattery, but dude, it happens so much in thumbnailing just alone. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients come to me and be like, hey, can you make me a Mr. Beast thumbnail, but like with my face? And I'm like, okay, like you just want to contrast it? And he's like, yeah, because it works. I'm like, have you thought about watching your video and finding what would be, you know, the key point that you'd want to highlight or a funny moment or something, you know, different than others? Right. Nah, I just want it to look like this. I'm like, oh, okay, sick. But that is actually statistically a thing that people have done where they just want to replicate other people's thumbnails just so that they think that it is from that video, like that uploader. And it's kind of crazy because like, holy crap, like I get it, but like have some originality. Like you want to be a trendsetter, go-getter, you know, stand out from the rest. Why try to copy others, right? Be yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, it's hard. Like I understand the inclination to copy other people, but some people literally just have their thumbnail look exactly like someone else's, even if the video is totally different. It's like, why?
It's so like strange. At least try and change some stuff. And you're just like, bro, come on. Like I literally have now put my foot down being like, I want to copy this one for one. I'm like, no. Like, I'm not going to do that because what's the fun in it for me? Like, a big part of it is just you want to vibe and have fun. Like, I don't want to copy shit. Like, bro.
I mean, I think it delineates the difference between someone who's in it because they like creating things and they like expressing themselves and someone who's in it because it's a job and they're trying to make a buck.
That's fair.
It's very interesting to see that, you know, as YouTube has gone on, as streaming has gone on, mm-hmm. the amount of people that are doing it because they grew up seeing it as that you could make money doing that, mm-hmm. versus people who did it because, like, I want to play games and they told me I could do it in front of people. That's pretty fun, which is a different beast entirely. So, some people have different expectations. And at this point, I'm like, all right, whatever, man.
Everyone has like a reason why they started, and it's heartbreaking sometimes when you see those people that are, you know, getting the numbers, that you see other people that are super passionate and do this as a hobby, and like they're trying to make it big and they're working two jobs behind the scenes and they're really entertaining and it doesn't work out for them. And it's sad to see when you see another person who's like, I'm in it for the money, and you're like, shit, man. Like, but I get it. Also, there's a lot of algorithm. There's other more people behind the scenes doing that. Sorry, a TLDR for people who don't know me. I'm very heavily on the production stuff, back end of stuff. I help a lot of people start raising their... It's stupid. Like, I'm a small-time VTuber, but I help other people rise to where they want to be. And so that's why I'm very heavy on the back end of production. So I'm helping with game shows. I'm helping with a lot of stuff. So I get a lot of analytical talk, and I apologize if that ever gets boring.
It doesn't get boring to us. Ignore them. Points of chat. Ignore them. They're fine. We find it interesting.
It's definitely never a dull moment, because especially with algorithms, dude, they're always changing, and like the rise of AI and all of this shit. Like it's harder now than ever than to like try to like make a name for yourself or try to like branch out and look different or be different or want to do the things that used to start as a hobby. Now it's like, hey, you got to do X, Y, and Z. You have to spend spend this much money to even consider making it. It's like, dude, it used to be so entry level. You used to take a fucking Logitech 902 camera and just be like, I'm going to play Psychonauts. you're on like a really shitty laptop. But dude, it's the barrier for entry is so much higher now. It's crazy.
Yeah, because it used to be, you're right, it used to be that gaming was one of the like lower barrier things to do. If you wanted to be on YouTube, it was relatively easy to be like, what if I just play games? I can do that, you know? And at the time it was like, okay, but you have to also learn to, you know, consistently talk, you know, try to, you know, engage with the people who are watching, and et cetera, et cetera. And now you're right. It's not just that. It's also, are you looking at the numbers? Are you figuring out what works and what doesn't work? Are you thinking about how long your video is? Are you seeing at what point people stop watching the video? Like all of these extra things that a lot of people
never
just
have to worry about.
Get so stressed out looking at. Yeah.
What's crazy about it is knowing all the really successful people. Like this is like the catch 22 is everyone starting out, everyone who's like currently in that sort of middle range, there's all this obsession over numbers and this and that and this. But knowing some of the most successful people on all the platforms, I just know for a fact that they do not concern themselves with that. They will just hire someone else to worry about it.
Yep.
So that's what's crazy is everyone trying to game the numbers, but most of the higher end people don't.
Yep.
They're told, oh, you should probably try and do this, but they don't concern themselves with it. They know it's a thing, but they'll just pay someone else to do it.
Yep.
Which makes it even funnier because the stress of like, I got to do this and I got to fix this.
The rich get richer.
Yeah. Rich get rich. Yeah. They don't have to, worry about it.
Yeah.
Which is super interesting. But also I think when you're doing great, you don't think about that stuff anyway.
Mm-hmm. When you get to the point that you can start delegating things like that, I feel like you're like, oh, I've made it anyway. But yeah.
It's, right.
But even then, holy shit, people learning to delegate is a skill in itself that that is crazy that so many people don't already have. Holy shit.
Yeah, I know that I'm bad at that. I'm really bad at being like, hey, do you think you could help me with this? It's really hard for me to not like have my fingers in every pie.
You've always been hands-on on a lot of things you've been working on. Like it shows from your past content from years ago. You're just like, I'm passionate. I need to know I need to do this thing. And I'm like, Pog, we love that.
Thanks. Yeah.
Let
me have this. Let me have this. Let me have this.
I just want to ruin the moment. I'm not trying to, you know, I don't have any reasoning behind it. I just want to.
Oh my goodness.
All right. So what's the lore, Jesse, with that yellow chair in the background?
That's from the game Cyberpunk. So is that right there.
Yeah. Whoa.
It says fuck to death, but he covers it up.
It does say fuck to death. When I leave the office, I'm going to take that. I'm going to put it in my bedroom. It's happening. I'm not even joking. That's literally going to. Yeah.
This chair
can save my junk from this
chair. There's some aura to that, bro. Holy
there is
shit.
A lot of aura. Yeah.
That's what I plan to do.
Are you going to put it are you going to be facing the wall where you walk into your bedroom and you see it?
No, it's going to be right above the bed frame. It's going to be above the bed frame. Come on now. People need to know what to expect upon entry.
Okay, yeah. But where is your bed frame? Is it facing the wall that you enter the door? Entering the room so you see it's the first thing you see?
Yes, the first thing you'll see.
The first thing you see, okay.
Yeah.
Some people would put a neon sign that says like, never go to bed angry, but instead Jesse's will say fuck to death.
And this is going to be fitting the Shrek X Mario makeout covers on top of it, right? The duvet?
First off, I live in LA, no covers.
Oh, no covers.
Okay. It's a bed sheet and that's all you're getting. It's so hot. Yeah. But here's the thing. I go a little fun. So I've got a red bedspread. I've got a light orange bedspread.
He's got that Prada shit.
What can I say? I have one that's like a fancy gray. Please. Ooh. I don't do things.
Like a chenille gray? Oh, shit.
Oh, please.
Okay.
Yes. You're not going to find a white bedspread or any of that trash. Come on now.
There's no white in this household, guys. Don't worry.
Jesse's crazy. He has colorful bedspreads.
Although I do like a good bread spread as well.
Ooh, what's your favorite? Place. Onion chive?
Oh, see, here's the thing. First off, I love a good jam and or marmalade. Mm-hmm. However, I have recently I went to this place in LA that does like biscuits in the morning.
Ooh,
and they
how
do
fancy.
It with pimento cheese. And I haven't had pimento cheese in so long, and I tried some and was like, damn, this is why I'm fat. I love pimento cheese. Pimento cheese is not good for you at all, but my goodness, was it delicious.
Oh, sometimes things are just delicious.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's okay for you to love things. Like, I mean, what's the point of living if you can't have your pimento cheese in life and your chenille gray cheese?
Well, I don't want a lot of it, but like occasionally I do love some jams, like a nice jelly. Oh, yeah.
Favorite flavor?
I love a spicy jam is so good.
Yeah, or like a nut butter. You know what I mean? Not like peanut butter, you know, but like maybe like a cashew or a hazelnut, something a little chocolatey. Hazelnut.
So but like a Nutella?
Not a lot. I don't want a lot of it. You know, I just want every once in a while. Like
somebody was saying they make pecan butter and then put maple syrup on it when they put it on bread and it tastes like pecan pie.
Oh,
okay.
I want to try that.
Honestly, that's why I like, what is that? That speculoos butter that they have where.
What's that?
Oh,
what?
Yeah.
Speculoos?
Like, you know, the cookie butter.
Which curse did you
cookie? Oh,
say?
Cookie butter.
cookie butter, oh. But it's speculoos is what it
what
is.
What does that mean? What is that word?
I don't know. Biscoff spread, man. I don't know.
Oh, okay. But, speculoos.
But it has some sort of thing where when you heat it, it suddenly tastes like cinnamon apples.
Ooh.
So if you put it on hot bread and it melts, I'm like, yo, that's dangerous. Because, you know, cookie butter just tastes like cookie butter. It's whatever. But when it's like melty, suddenly it's a whole other level. And I'm like, y'all.
Oh, shit.
Science rules. I don't know what happened here. I don't know what molecularly occurred, but I love this. Yeah.
Whoever figured out how to cook shit.
So good.
Really crushing it.
That first caveman figured it out. Shout out to my dude, Zug. That guy.
Zug.
That guy's a hero. Everyone loves Zug. Everyone around the tribe was like, that dude harnessed fire, bro.
Bro, is this cookie butter?
Yeah. All right. Zugs in chat. W Zug.
Yeah, shout out to the Zugs.
Shout out to the Zugs, the Stevies.
The Zugs and the Stevies. Yeah.
Yep.
Like Zug, rhymes a hug. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, man. Mm-hmm. Zug getting a lot of hugs from the cave ladies back then.
Because
it was very cold. And he was the only one with a fire.
Yeah, they wanted so they cookie butter.
And he would be like, oh, you know, if we take off our clothes, we'll get hot faster. He would say to the other people at camp, and they'd be like, well, Zug knows what's up.
Yeah.
So they all got
smart.
Together with Zug.
Zug's
yeah.
got it figured. He figured out fire. Yeah. So there's something going on up here.
Yeah, I mean, he's really, yeah. He was very smart. Ahead of the curve, that Zug. Yeah. Mm,
I believe it.
All right. He's a go-getter. Shit.
Hot dog.
Freem, have you been playing anything this week? Or watching anything? Reading anything? What's tickled your fancy?
I watched that new movie with the Michael B. Jordan, the Swapped, the animated movie that showed up on Netflix. That was interesting.
Oh, how was it?
It's actually, surprisingly, I thought I was going to hate it because like I feel like there was no advertisement for it. But then again, you know, I pay my premiums. I don't want to see ads. I you know, like I'm the girly that doesn't look at ads, unfortunately. Sorry guys. Sorry Bezos. But dude, I was going to hate it. Because I was like, ain't no way they got Michael B. Jordan, all these fucking other people that are really cool, and made an animated film. But it was actually pretty intuitive. Like, the environmental development, the world building was really smart. And there was a pretty good plot twist, too. It's becoming a vocal stem of mine, and I don't want to spoil it for anybody in chat. I don't want to spoil it for you guys. But there's a quote in there that I keep on quoting, and I feel really bad about it. But, like, dude, it's actually a pretty decent watch. I would recommend it. It's what's on Netflix, not sponsored, but yeah.
Mm. Give us like a one sentence summary or just pitch it to us. What's it about?
So let's say in a world where it's all forest, right? And everything's tree life and fun. And like you got leaves and branches, everything that's beautiful in nature. There is one that stood out beyond the rest whose element is fire. The Fire Nation attacked. But make it. but make it animated.
Okay.
But make it someone referenced it. Make it like Minions animated type of shit. It was okay. Zug, yeah. Yeah.
Avatar The Last Airbender, but by Illumination.
Yeah, by Illumination. Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Great.
A very very bad version of explaining it, but yeah, kinda makes sense. But yeah, no, it's interesting. I have definitely been enjoying it. As for games, okay. I've kind of just been mixing on a bunch of going through my backlog. I'm playing a bunch of puzzle games that I like. I love escape rooms. I love puzzle games. Doing my rerun of a bunch of like all my Majora's Mask and Ape Escape. I've been doing that recently. And then trying some new indie backlog games that are just showing up. Like, she remembered Caterpillar's going to be playing later today, and then a bunch of other really cool stuff.
Wait, what game
Crow
is
Country,
that?
She remembered Caterpillar's.
What is that?
It's a, huh? It's a puzzle game about caterpillars. Yeah. Yeah, no, I am all for looking for, like, weird, random indie games and trying to figure out what they are and trying them out, because I don't know. I just like seeing other people's takes of what they think games are, like, especially with puzzles. Like, tomorrow I'm going to be playing Crow Country, which I have no idea what it is about, but I'm excited about it because it has high ratings. But yeah, I pretty much, like, put my hand in a hat and I'm like, let's find a game. This game, Pajama Sam. Cool. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Because you never know when you're going to find something that you like, right? Like,
it's true. Sometimes I'll play a game and people will ask me how I even found it. And a lot of times it's just, I just looked for new games in a specific genre. I just wanted to find an indie game that's a puzzle game or an indie game that's a Metroidvania or whatever.
Yeah.
And this popped up and I liked the art style and I decided to just give it a shot. And sometimes you find gems that way. You really do.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I really liked Fire Emblem for a long time. And I was like, damn, are there other games like that? And then I ended up finding Disgaea, which is now more popular. But, like, a lot of people didn't know what Disgaea was. And I was like, shit, okay. But I love grid-based, like, Final Fantasy Tactics. Like, it's I don't know, I love that. And so when Digimon made Digimon Survive, I was like, shit, this is my jam. But again, visual novels are not very popular over here in the Americas, so I understand why.
I feel like they've gotten more popular, but...
Yeah, I feel like Danganronpa and Steins Gate has helped bring it more. And fucking Doki Doki Literature Club was one that really took it by storm because of the shock
factor.
That
one really took off.
But I feel like the audience in the Americas is still really hard with visual novels. So they find it boring. And I'm like, bruh, but it's so interesting. Give it a chance.
Yeah, it's hard because sometimes they're really short. Sometimes they're really long.
Oh, yeah. And the multiple different endings, too. And you're like, if you're a completionist, you're fucked.
You're like, oh, no. This is actually going to take me 50 hours, not 10 hours.
Yeah.
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 There's I definitely want to give a shout out to if you're like trying to find games and you don't want to have to dig through Steam on the old Tweetster. Shout out to Alpha Beta Gamer. I think their tag is actually at Gamer Alpha Beta. And they literally just, I've been following them for years. And all they do is post new indie games. So it'll be things you've never heard of. It's all indies. And you can just scroll through their list of like, yeah, here's a new indie game that just, you know, here you can get a demo or see a trailer. It's how I found out about like a lot of the weird sort of indie horror games, but also some of the ones that are just like, you clean records for fun. And I'm like, yeah, that's sweet. That's good.
Yeah.
Love them. Consistently dropping solid bangers, so yeah
great.
Actually, one of the few reasons to still be on Twitter.
There
are a couple of people on YouTube that I follow that do that, where they'll they literally just exclusively make YouTube shorts, and it'll be like, here's a game that's coming out in a week, it looks pretty tight, there's a demo, check it out. You know,
I think that's how I found out about Late Homework, which is one of those indie horror games, which is like very stylized to Animal Crossing, but Silent Hill gameplay. And I was like, damn, shit. Yeah, no, it's really interesting. And like, unless you go out and find it, you're not going to find it. And I'm very happy that people actually like take the time to inform other people, because I feel like without them, we'd be kind of screwed.
It's just too many games now.
Oh, yeah.
Like, it's great because you can always find something that's your type of game, but like, so many great games don't get enough eyeballs on them. It's a shame.
Speaking of that, 999, the Nonarini games, I don't know if you guys ever played it on the DS. Holy shit.
Those are great.
That is an incredible game.
When you were mentioning Danganronpa, I thought of the Nonarini games. Yeah.
That's so good. And the AI Sonium files that are like, it's precious. Dude, it's my love, my love.
I just think they're not, they're visual novels really aren't marketed here as like a console seller, or they market them as very niche.
Yeah.
And so they're treated more niche, I think.
I think it's a lot of it is also like I feel like this is around the globe in general, but I feel like most in like the American sector, or I guess would you call that Western audience, are very desensitized by like slower paced things. So like you need more action, you need more everything to be in front of you, and you need it to be more like engaging. And it's, I think that's like ruining it, bro. Like I feel like a lot of people won't give like anything a shot unless you get that hook. Same with videos, same with anything. Like it sucks, dude.
Yeah, that's so true, actually. I think
unless
they just
hook,
don't.
They don't want to stay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, they don't trust that people will want to stick with something that's just a visual novel. And maybe rightfully so. Maybe they have the data to back that up.
Yeah.
But I don't know. Like all of those, all of the like bigger visual novels that we mentioned, all of those have come out on Nintendo systems at some point or another. And I'm wondering if like, not saying that Nintendo needs to continue to market itself mostly towards children, but I'm wondering if there were more visual novels that were like accessible to younger
Monster
people.
Monster Prom?
Oh, never mind. Never mind. That's the wrong.
Not Monster Prom.
Not to young people. Nope, never mind. Nope.
Not Monster Prom.
Don't play that, kids.
Yeah, I was like, for kids?
Monster Prom for babies.
That. Actually, you know what?
Yeah, for
it's
babies.
Perfect. It's
Monster Babies.
Monster Prom's perfect for the whole family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Monster Babies.
Buy it today.
Just do the Muppet Babies thing, but with Monster Prom characters. It'll
actually,
go great.
That would be so cute.
I would play that.
Muppet Babies, the visual novel, bro, would actually go so hard, too. Holy shit.
Yeah. I mean, like, I think the thing is that, you know, when it comes to visual novels, so like, it's so weird to say, but there's layers to gamers. They're like an onion.
They're
but
like an
one
onion,
of the things that I think is very clear about the vast majority of gamers is they don't like shit that takes itself too seriously or too dramatically.
Yeah.
And visual novels are all about, like, at least the vibe of them. There are many that are not, clearly. I helped make one. But, like, there are this vibe of, like, you know, when you see, like, I love games that have a serious plot and, like, I'm, like, eating up the story. But every time I talk to people, they're just like, not for me. And I don't know why that is. I still, to this day, can't figure it out. But most gamers like the gameplay, not the actual story of a game, which is an interesting way to look at it. And I don't come from that world. I'm there for the story first and the gameplay second for me. I could care less.
Yeah.
But most people, I feel like they're there for the gameplay mechanics. And I wonder if that's because the way games were like, you know, really highlighted in the 90s, which was like action, 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 like you two were talking about. Like, I don't know. But that's,
I wonder,
it's kind of the vibe.
Yeah, maybe maybe the PS2 era kind of ruined that when you had like the God of War, you had PS3, you had Prototype and Infamous, you had like very action-related games. And I guess, sorry, that made me really get into Metal Gear Revengeance. Holy shit.
That's such, I love that game.
Banger.
Solid.
It's so good.
Solid game. Yeah.
Talk about story and action, bro. Holy shit. Nanomachines.
I mean, like, this is a great example. I was going to save this for the news, but I feel like it just matters now. We got a trailer for Modern Warfare 4, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it was a story trailer, but for a Modern Warfare game. And I was like, well, what are the comments going to be on this? And the comments were like, yawn. Or I saw one guy that was like, yeah, all right, whatever.
Boo.
And for me, I was like, oh, that story seems pretty fun. That's like, they do a whole bit where they're like soldiers and they go into convenience mart. I'm like, oh, that's cute. Like, all right, this could be. The comments were like, who cares? I just want to see the gameplay. And I think that's a lot of people are like that. It's just, it is what it is.
Bruh. Mm. This is why we don't get more Call of Duty zombies, bro. Sorry, Black Ops zombies. This is why we don't get nice things anymore, dude.
Black Ops zombies is fun, man.
Yeah. Bro, you guys gotta start liking the story, man. Why would they put effort? Like, this is why we
get schlop. Read the dialogue.
Yeah, this is why we get schlop nowadays. We have the stupid hack and slashes, and we don't get any sustenance. We need sustenance, bro.
I also love the slop. I think the slop has a place. It's just, you know, I also want deep, interesting
some
stories.
Tasteful, yeah. Yeah.
But it's also tough, I think, to discern what would have one. You know what I mean? Based, like, you don't know right away. I just did, like, the math on this because I was like, all right, well, what's coming out? On Steam, if you were just to go look at upcoming games, today there are 24 game releasing. God on the damn. 31st, 41 games are releasing. Strangely enough, there are no games listed as releasing tomorrow, which is interesting. If I was one of those games, I'd release tomorrow. I'd be like, screw it. We're going to be the only one on Saturday.
We're moving up.
But that is, over the course of the weekend, 65 games release.
That's too many games.
It's too many.
And yeah, and they're mostly, for the most part, indie games.
Yeah.
And that's how tough it is to get your indie game seen. Even if you dump tons of money or time or years, most indie games are flukes if they take off. Like, it really, it's so strange. And that, I mean, as someone who invests in the world of indie games, most of it is, all right, well, glad I helped you make a game. Because I didn't see a damn cent from it.
You know, maybe I'll see a return on that one day, but probably not.
Probably not. Yeah. It really is. At this point, I'm like, well, I am helping people follow their dreams. And if one day I see a cent from it, great. But if not, well, that's what I'm doing. And that's unfortunately, that's the gaming space. Is it's a lot of taking chances and trying to see if it works. And maybe 1 out of 1,000 will be the next big hit.
Yeah.
Yep.
But most indie games are doing like a couple thousand sales.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like
everyone's trying to be the next Undertale, bro.
Yeah, and the fact that there's the amount of Undertale-esque games that exist, and you're like, I don't know what, all right, I'm glad you made it, but I don't know, man.
And some of them have been fantastic, but because they were similar enough visually or vibes-wise to Undertale, they got looked over. Yeah. You know, it's hard. Like, it could help you, but it could also hurt you. You just don't know.
Yeah.
It's most indie games don't sell at all. Mm-hmm. Like, they'll get completely lost. So, yeah, I saw in chat a couple thousand's good. It is good. But it's not I made a return on my investment good. It's like, oh, well, I'm glad people played it. But it's like, it's the YouTube loss thing. Where you'll make a video and you'll put it out in the world and you'll realize the amount of time and energy you put in that video. There's no way you'll make your money back on that, like, time spent proposition. Mm-hmm. But, like, all right, I'm glad it exists and I hope people enjoy.
Yeah.
And that's most of it. You just have to be glad it exists. Otherwise, I mean, it's not an industry to make a bunch of money. That's for sure.
Yep. You have to come at it with passion for sure.
Yeah, in that way, it's similar to a lot of art, isn't it? Like, people will spend years on a painting that nobody's ever going to buy, or write a book that many people are going to read, you know?
But when you die, though, that's when it goes up.
Then it's gonna sell.
Yeah. Hopefully.
Maybe. But you're right. Like, in order to deal with the pressure and maybe disappointment and the struggle that comes with making something that took a lot of time and effort and putting it out there, you have to really love doing it.
Yep.
I mean, that's going to be interesting to see what happens with Mina, the Yacht Club games, Mina the Hollower.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That's a game that I've watched, I've looked at, I was part of the Kickstarter, I've played early versions at the Wazoo. I'm curious if style translates to sales. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like doing a retro thing worked for them the first time. Will it work again now that it's Game Boy-esque? Who knows? I have no clue. The Kickstarter got them like $1 million, so people are interested. But question is, the people who did the Kickstarter, are they the most interested? Will it translate? You know, they're not buying it now because they got it with the Kickstarter.
Yep. Sure.
So I don't know. I have no clue.
Yeah, you never know. Yeah. I mean, that's why you just got to go at it and, you know, hope it sticks. And I mean, honestly, like it's, again, it stems back to never a dull moment, but that's if you have no passion with doing it, because I feel like if you're passionate about, you know, developing a game or making something come or creating that life and sharing it with other people, it translates into it. Because it's like, it's the same with like, you know, let's say voice acting. If you're passionate about the role that you have, like you can feel it in the character that you're portraying or in acting too. So it's, yeah, it's crazy. Oh.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh. Yeah.
And with that, wishing everybody who's putting out an indie game.
Yeah.
All the love in the world.
Bless. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Good luck, Stevie.
Good luck.
When you're not rubbing,
good luck,
yes, he's back.
You guys are crushing
Zug.
It.
I love you. You know what? I love you for saying back. You could have said anything else, and he would have. Stevie's good like that.
Yep.
But yeah, I love you for that.
Yeah, I mean the back. You know, you need help. You need help with the back sometimes. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's a rough
Stevie
spot to get on
your own.
Stevie
does not keep it clean. Stevie's like, where you want this oil? I'm like Stevie.
Stevie.
Oh my God!
You little freak.
He's just trying to get his
more Stevie. Zug. Yeah.
Yeah.
Damn.
Zug has very little care, but he'll put that oil anywhere.
I can't wait for the Zug and Stevie collab, bro. Holy.
It's gonna be a mess.
Yeah, you don't really want both of them at the same time, but it's, you know.
It's going to be oil and dung and dirt, and it's going to be a weird time, but hey.
Oil, dung, and dirt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What about you, Jesse? What have you been playing this week?
Oh, don't ask me this. I've been...
Never mind.
There was the Warhammer 10-year Skulls thing they did, and they announced a bunch of new games. And so I, of course, got suckered into the fact they announced Warhammer Survivors, which it's just Vampire Survivors, but Warhammer.
Yeah.
Hell
and they released
a
demo, and I played it like an insane person because it's a demo and there's only two characters for each, either Sigmar or 40K. And I was like, all right. So I started playing and I love it so much. There's barely anything really to do, to be honest. But
you just kept playing it, though.
I kept playing, and I started getting more and more powerful to the point where there's nothing left for me to do on the level. I just stand there. Guys come to me. There's no bonuses to get. There's nothing else to happen. And I'm like, ho, 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 I am amazing. And it's just a delight. So that sent me on the path of, well, for those who know, I am almost done somehow with all the achievements in Total War Warhammer 3. And I had a legendary achievement that it wouldn't give me. It just wouldn't give me the achievement.
What?
I did it, and it wouldn't get... I think it was a bug or something. So I got so, like...
Classic gamer.
It was! I did everything!
It was the game!
I did everything!
Not a player issue. No, no, no.
Literally, the whole achievement's literally just beat it on the hardest difficulty. And I did. And it didn't give me the achievement. I don't know
bullshit.
Why. I was like... Yes, I was like, what? And it took me so long. So anyway, I was like, I'll never go back and do that again. Anyway, so I am. So I am going back and doing it again. And we'll see what happens. But it just takes forever. So I'm very slowly trying. People are just like, no, dude, see, the problem is that you saved and then loaded from that save. I'm like, what do you mean? It's like, you can only do autosaves, bro. I'm like, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard.
Why?
How could that be the problem? And they're like, I saw it on Reddit. That's the problem. I'm like... Anyway, so I'm trying again and we'll see what happens. But it just takes the hardest difficulty is like, oh, did you want to play this for a week? Good luck.
Yeah, I had nothing else to do.
So that's what
I had to sink this much time in and then not get the achievement. I loved it, actually.
Yeah.
Made me really happy. Yeah.
So instead of playing anything new, I played that all week while I edited audio.
Nice.
But I finally finished all the if you're curious, all of the Jesse and Octo watch Fast and Furious podcast stuff is finally done. So all
amazing.
The stuff is releasing. Yeah. Thanks everyone for watching along with us. It's been a treat. We're almost done.
How do you
We're
do
almost
that?
Do
you just have like a sync up in the audio?
No, he comes to the office. We sit literally in these chairs behind us and watch on the TV.
No. But I mean, like, what you give people is just your commentary, though, right? And people would watch.
So there's a podcast form that's on the YouTube channel that's literally just us talking about it for like 40 minutes or whatever. But then on Patreon, there's a watch along that's literally just a watch along.
Oh,
right. And it's great.
Cool.
It's like we're MST3K'ing, but not trying to be funny. It's mostly Octo losing his mind.
Do you have a favorite
and
so far?
And saying he hates it when I know he loves it.
Oh, you know he loves it, yeah.
Yeah.
Which one? Well, is it a spoiler for us to know which one was his fave?
No. He loves 5, but everyone loves 5.
Yeah.
And then he, I found out that he loves one of the later movies as his second favorite, which shocked me. One of the sillier, goofier ones, he's like, this is my favorite. And I was like, so.
Family.
Yeah, Frame, family.
I'm trying to get Jesse. So as of like a couple of weeks ago, Jesse did not know that there were Trolls movies.
I was unaware.
Like the Trolls.
They're musicals.
The huge Trolls movies that have come out. He had never heard of them, never seen them, didn't know they existed.
Don't they have Justin Timberlake in it?
Like, yeah.
That's a big
deal. The cast is insane. Like it's yeah, they're the huge cast is insane. Anyways, so I told Jesse that since he's done Fast and the Furious with Octo, that I really want to watch the Trolls movies with him. I want to fly out to LA and watch all of the Trolls movies. Yeah.
I would love that, but you have to fly out to LA and sit here and watch all the Trolls movies with me.
That's fine. I'll do it.
And we have to get troll themed snacks and wear troll wigs.
Okay.
All right,
can we put big gems on our tummies?
First off, too late. I already got one.
What color?
It's an amethyst.
Ooh, an amethyst.
Oh my goodness.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
I'll go with my birthstone. I'll put a big peridot right there.
Ooh, cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Freem, if you were going to have a troll gem, what would it be?
Oh, probably a sapphire. I think they're so pretty. I love the blues and the sapphire. They're gorgeous.
Ooh, you know what? Can I change mine?
Yeah.
I want it to just be a rock.
A rock? Just ooh, how?
A smooth rock or like an angular rock?
Like an angular kind of like lopsided rock. Ooh, but then one side has like a fossil in it.
Oh my goodness. That would be pretty tight. I don't know if it would grant any wishes.
A fossil or a regular fossil?
Sick.
No, like a fossil of like some gross underwater creature, you know?
Oh, okay. Okay.
Like some Cretaceous kind of goop monster. But ooh. Half of it. And the other half is just stone. And then it's just right here. And it like, you know, when everyone's like, use the power of our tummies. And I assume they Care Bears there. I'm not
That's
sure
Care
what
Bears.
Trolls do.
Yeah, it's fine.
And
it's
they
fine.
Go like, boo! And like, but mine goes like.
Man, I'm so excited for the next Monster Prom character to debut with the fucking disgusting.
Just glob tummy. Like a little disgusting troll.
Troll, but with a fossil tummy.
Damn. Now, where did they get this idea?
Zug. That's crazy.
Yeah.
I love it.
Oh, my God.
Anybody
Zug
who's
Stevie
really...
Wonders, bro.
Anybody who's really familiar with the Trolls universe, comment below which troll society we think Jesse's troll sona would be from.
What do you mean troll society?
You'll find out. God. It's fine.
Oh, we're going to get so much
the trolls
fan
the
art
same.
With the
they have like
troll
a caste system.
Yes, fan art of the troll sonas, please.
Classical? Ooh, dubstep troll. You really think Jesse's into dubstep? Dubstep troll? Really?
I don't know that a fossil troll is a dubstep troll.
No, yeah. I'm into. Oh yeah, no, a fossil troll. He's into
Unga
whatever
Bunga
the music is
shit.
That when you play the first 25 minutes of Civilization. He's into that, where it's like,
or it's like classical new wave shit rock.
But it's but it's just like the chanting, or it's like, or the one that the one's like one string. It's like bing, 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 bing. Bing, boom, bing. You're like, yep, that's what he's into.
The one,
he's
the into one the step first... up from elevator music, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Well, probably one step down. Yeah.
Nah, one step up. Dude, Civ intros go hard, dude. Like, you can have that on
a
loop.
Well, not the intro, just the music from when you play as, like, the year 4000 BC.
Oh, when it's like, 4000 BC. Oh, okay.
When it's just you're playing and the music in the background is, like, just some guy chanting, that's what he's into.
Oh.
Yeah, exactly. That's the kind of music he loves.
I love it.
Yeah.
Damn, okay. Perfect. Mm-hmm. All right. Paints a pretty picture. I'm so glad to be an artist.
My brain, gigantic. My hands, powerful. Can I tell you guys about Vintage Story?
I would love to hear about Vintage Story.
Fantastic. I've been playing a bunch of a game called Vintage Story. Our lovely friend Boone put together a server with a couple of other people, and a ton of people are playing on it. I had never heard of this game before, but everyone kept calling it Evil Minecraft when talking to me about it. So I said, okay, I can do Evil Minecraft. So essentially, it is Evil Minecraft. It's Minecraft at the end of the day is like a cube-based survival game, right? Okay. So they took that, and I guess it started off as a Minecraft mod and then became its own game. But it is like way deeper and more involved than Minecraft is by a ton. Anything that you want to build, any systems, has like 20 steps in order to get it done. They try to have as much of it like pull from what it would be like in real life as possible. So like I decided to be a farmer, and somebody was like, oh, you're going to have to learn about crop rotation. I said, what do you mean? Because in real life, right, you rotate crops based on like crops will take certain nutrients from the soil and deposit nutrients back into the soil. And so you might plant certain things just to enrich the soil before planting the next thing, right? So in this game, it's not quite that involved, but it is like every single plant has a specific nutrient that it needs, and you have to, where you're going to plant the, you know, whatever it is, every block of soil has a different like quality to it. So the place where we are has all low quality soil. Had to go out and get better quality soil and bring it back. And then if I plant something there that needs potassium, when I harvest it, I can't plant another thing there that needs potassium. I have to plant something else there because it's been deprived of those nutrients and it'll grow slower. So you have to like rotate in different crops that can utilize the nutrients that are available in the soil. Right. So it's like that, but like with everything.
That sounds amazing.
It's like, it's so much to learn, but once you know what you're doing with whatever system you're engaging with in the game, once you kind of know what you're doing, it's so rewarding to just be like, And then I do this and I do this and I do this. But the evil part of Evil Minecraft is that along with all of that, there's also these like rifts that open up, and you have a sanity meter. And at night, monsters show up, and depending on where you are, some places are worse for your sanity than others. If you're underground for too long, your sanity is constantly going down. And where's he going?
I have to blow my nose.
He's blowing his nose, VOD listeners. So there's also really what are called temporal storms that are just like,
how dare you mock me?
His sanity meter is so low.
I just didn't know what you were doing, that's all.
Oh, no, I mean, like, it's LA, so I was doing coke.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah.
I was doing cool things, not blowing my nose because I had boogers.
So when the temporal storms hit in the game, it's like 10 straight minutes of you feeling like you're going insane. Like the walls all get warped. Everything is super trippy and there's monsters everywhere. And so you have to just like lock yourself in a small space and wait it out. But a lot of people, the storm hits when you're just like out doing shit and you're like, okay, I guess I'll die.
That sounds amazing. Nuts.
So today was the first time that my character went properly insane. A storm hit and my sanity went all the way to zero and I was slowly dying. And I was like, when is this storm going to end? And everybody was like, the storm's over. You're just, your sanity is so low that you think it's still happening. So I had to frantically go somewhere that made my brain feel better. And I had no idea where that was. I've now marked a spot on the map close to my house that's like a brain feel good spot. Because
I wonder if you can craft a rainbow so that you can always feel good in a certain area.
That would be awesome.
Oh my God. I'm gonna have to look.
But the game itself is really fun.
I want to go look up what the YouTube vibe was. And I must stress the amount of videos that are like, it's like Minecraft, but for real men. And I'm like, okay. That's all right. That's the vibe, eh?
Oh no. All right. Okay.
Yeah.
That sounds so interesting.
It just looks like more complicated Minecraft. Yeah.
It's like way
more Minecraft with mods.
Yeah. So I need a pot, right? So I'm growing all these vegetables and I was like, I need storage for the vegetables. I needed to make a storage thing. And chat was like, "Oh, you should make something out of clay." But guess what? That means I have to find a clay deposit. I have to know how to form the clay, fire the clay, right? Like, it was like such a long process.
Wow.
I needed a metal bit to make, I wanted to make a chest, but I needed a specific metal bit. And one of the other people I'm playing with had fortunately made a mold for that metal bit. But then chat was trying to talk me through like how to find a crucible, heat up the metal, transfer the metal to the mold. I was like, no.
I feel like that's one of those moments where you'd be like, how silly of I for me not to know I needed this specific type of metal type of moment. And you're just like, oh, how could I forget to breathe? You need to get this specific type of oxygen.
Dude,
in this game.
I reached the point where I was like, I got to be honest with you guys. There is a certain type of struggle that I'm happy to do on stream. This is not one of them. I don't want to be learning how to pour metal into a mold on stream with a game because it's just going to be 20 people like, and then you do this. No, you have to do this first. And then you have to grab this and then put it in there. No, not like that. It's like, I'm not doing that. I'm not doing it.
But it's just a silly block game. It can't be hard. It's a video game. It can't be hard. It's for kids.
It's a hard game. I know how to grow things. That's it.
You got to make sure that you have autosave on. Because remember, when you have manual save on, you won't get the achievement. Make sure you do
that. You're so right for that.
For those that are listening, we got a disapprovement look and a nodding of head.
a sad head shake.
Yeah.
From the boy.
And nopers. Yeah.
Nope. Not enjoying that.
Why you gotta rub it in? Why you gotta rub it in there?
Oh, I was just reminding I was just reminding, you know, the importance of having autosave on in today's society of video games. Mm-hmm.
If your intention was to shoot a dagger through my heart, bullseye.
Oh, my
damn.
Just get the achievement next time.
I'm working on it.
He's trying.
They got me back trying to do it again.
Jesse just gets up and leaves.
Yeah.
I will.
I can't tell you how many times I've aggravated a buddy of mine who's like playing Mario Kart and then they're just like, I can't fucking get this thing. And I'm like, why are you getting mad at a child's video game? And they're like, fake it. And I'm like,
bro. The other thing, I can't remember if I talked about this last week. I don't think I did, but did I tell you, Jesse, that my kid has started playing Tamagotchi Life?
You did. Yes. Okay.
So that's continued. She has continued to exclusively make family members. Everybody on the island is just a member of our family. And she loves it.
Aww.
It's so fun. Like, it's just so simple. It's so funny to me. Like, literally, she'll just sit there and be like, oh my gosh, my cousin had the funniest dream in Tamagotchi Life. And then the worst part though is that she's still trying to get me and Sam to fall in love in the game. And I am obsessed with him and he still just says best friends forever. I'm getting like actively friend zoned by my husband in Tamagotchi Life.
Good. You know what?
Oh
good.
My God.
We live together. We've agreed to live together. I follow him around constantly with the little blush marks on my face. I'm like, when is this bitch gonna sack up and be like, I love you? She won't do it. I've never been so just disappointed like in like a virtual version of myself. Like, come on, man.
Oh, you're yelling at the love screen like a telenovela. I was like, love me.
Yeah. Like, come on.
That's why you're coming on too strong.
Dude, like, just tell him. Just tell him you are in love with him, or you gotta move on, girl. It's not healthy now.
It's too late.
Crazy.
Oh, God.
But after we had another lovely guest on the show a couple weeks ago who was talking about how he will, in the middle of the night, just make random people and put them on the island for his kid to, like, find later. And I feel like I should do that. I should just add randos.
That'd be so funny.
Yeah.
Just not even explain it. Be like, and then you can hear Clark be like, who do you think this person is? I didn't put them on the island. And you're just like,
who is this?
It's like, oh, it must be some DLC where just, you know, other people from other islands show up. Not saying the gaslight
really
your kid.
Pasta your kid. But, yeah, you could like, you can start putting some weird stuff on that island and be like, I don't know. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
Where'd that come from? Honestly, if I were you.
The back rooms, but it's Tomodachi.
Yeah, I'd add the entire cast of the show Lost, but give them the premise of the show Lost where they're like, we're trapped in this island and there's a smoke monster on the island, and really freak Clark out is what I would do.
You should play Tomodachi Holy Life. Shit. And exclusively make Lost characters. There's plenty of them.
I might. Yeah.
Oh my God. See, I haven't gotten the game because I'm afraid I'm gonna get sucked in.
Like, it's really fun.
Oh, I have an addictive personality. I had to quit WoW, and my friends have been trying to get me back into WoW and playing Classic. And I'm kind of like, I can't do it, man. I can't do it. You can't bring me in. And so I started leveling a hunter, and I was like, you can't do this. I have to work. I have bills to pay. I have to do this. I can't. I already play League enough, bro. I can't. It's a bad habit.
Oh, dude. I thought, because I had watched so many clips of Tomodachi Life, so I thought probably I've seen all of the funny stuff that happens in that game at this point.
Mm-hmm.
But every single time she plays, I see something I've never seen in somebody's clips before. Like, the game has so many weird events and things that can happen in it.
Oh,
so it's fun.
All right.
Yeah.
How does it know stuff? I see clips. Well, I see clips and it'll be like hyper specific things about that person. So my question is, how much information do you input when you create a character?
So you don't input a whole lot when you make the character, just kind of like their general vibe. You get to change how they look and you get to adjust their voice. But the game does a really good job of consistently asking you questions and rewarding levels. So say I made a little Jesse Cox on the island, right?
Mm-hmm.
So Jesse's wandering around, he's meeting everybody, he's having a good time, and eventually he'll be like, I really want to be friends with this person. What should I ask them about that we might have in common? And then you can literally just type something in. So I could be like, Jesse loves big booty. And then there would be a whole scene where Jesse goes to one of the other people on the island and is like, can I have a moment to talk with you about big booty? And the other person will be like, I love big booty. And then I need you to understand, from then on, big booty would be an option for people to talk about forever after that. So you just slowly fill the world up with stuff and you establish
something,
as people.
It's sounding pretty real.
Yeah. As characters like level and interact with each other, and they'll like ask you questions about stuff. Like, they asked Clark, Top Banana is what she's called in the game, because you get to decide what the Miis call you, and she chose Top Banana. So one of the Miis pulled her aside and was like, hey, who's a celebrity you really like? And now she typed in Sabrina Carpenter, And now literally all of the Mii's will like compliment each other by being like, you look a lot like Sabrina Carpenter. And the other one will be like, oh my God, thank you. It's so funny, dude.
That's hilarious. That's awesome.
Yeah. So just the more that you play, the more you can apply a bunch of really specific things to certain Mii's, and they will bring it up a lot or like do different quirks and things that you've assigned to them. So yeah, like longevity of playing has a benefit because the scenes become more like specific and funny and like weird, that's, you know, cute.
That's fun. Yeah. Yeah, that's good. That's good.
It's really smart. They're really smart.
I just want to know why when I show up on people's islands, I have hyper specific things that I talk about. And I'm like, how'd they do that? What's that about?
Because they typed in big booty when you asked what you want to talk about.
That makes me wonder, though, perfect. Is this Nintendo's way of like getting information about specific people? If there's X
I hope
amount
they
of
learn about
people
me,
named
and they're like, he likes
Jesse.
Big booty, that man.
Yeah. And then it goes on a repertoire. It's like, this is the most Mii's named Jesse, and the thing he likes is big booty, go up on a fucking Nintendo post.
And they'll be like, gentlemen, we must make more big booty games.
Big booty games.
Someone call Yoko Taro. Let's make booty games.
Oh my God. In the name of Jesse, big booties.
Yeah.
Yes. Nintendo has made a complete shift in their marketing. Mario will now have a thick ass.
Now he fits in those overalls. Very yep. plump.
I am wondering, though, because like Animal Crossing did amazing and they really did not. They sort of relied on the players to add stuff to the game instead of doing like consistent doing updates to the game.
I'm going to take
Larry right now.
He's doing coke. He's doing coke.
He's doing coke.
You heard it here.
Woo! Let me tell you, woo, got my eyes watering. Woo!
Oh shit, you gotta wash your glasses after that.
Oh yeah, there's so much dust in them.
Yeah, they're a little foggy there.
I got that weird, like, I'm not sick thing, but for some reason I got like a nose. Like, there's like
I have a nose too.
Maybe
it might be. I don't know what it is, but it's driving me crazy. And I don't like it.
I'm sorry.
Maybe a sanity meter is low. You got to get him to a good brain zone.
You got to find the brain good place. Yeah.
You got to find the brain good place.
My brain good place is right here.
Oh my God.
What's in
there?
In
your old noggin. Beautiful.
What's in there? Very little, which is why it's so good.
But there's cookie butter spread, warmed up.
Cookie butter is in there. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Sug.
No, it's not. No, it's not.
Thanks, Sug. It's not even pimento cheese.
No.
Oh,
damn. That's so sad.
It's not.
What a sad day.
Yeah. Darn. Just boogers.
Oh no. Just boogers.
Boogers are good.
Boogers are not good. Boogers suck.
They do good stuff for you. They're important.
No.
They trap allergens so they don't get in your brain and kill you. Right? That's science.
Yep.
You just said stuff, and I don't think, like, you just said it. You, like, Jesse'd there for a minute. You just kept going.
I heard it
and
on
I
the internet,
like,
so it's real. This is the equivalent of, I saw it on Reddit, so it's real.
Yeah, I saw it on Reddit. I watched a YouTube video. It was an hour and a half long, so it had to be real.
Yeah, it had to be real. Mm-hmm. It exists. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. It's okay. If you also put tea tree oil up there, it kills the allergens.
See, this is why you're not feeling good, and this is why you have nothing in your brain, because you keep on taking the boogers out, dude.
Yeah, you gotta leave the boogers
problem.
Up there.
That's,
yeah, you gotta leave them up there.
I've been doing it wrong!
Ah! Damn. You should have known. I learned that on 4chan, dude. God damn. Yeah, keep them
that's
up
not
there.
What I learned on 4chan.
The idea of learning 4chan. Anything on 4chan makes me so sad.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. My upbringing was very strange. Ugh.
Your internet upbringing.
Those were the Yeah, my internet upbringing was like old school YouTube and 4chan. And I was like, I don't think that's something to boast about, but I've learned a lot at a very short amount of time. And I'm happy about that, but also very disturbed by the amount of knowledge that I don't need to know.
Yeah, I think back on how early I was just going into random chat rooms. And I'm like, man, truly it was the Wild West. Like,
oh, God. I do wish that forums would make a comeback because I do think it was really fun back then and like meeting new people. But like now in the age of like society and shit, well, society, dude, TikTok comments are pretty much that. And it's scary, bro. Like the lack of empathy in this world. I don't know how I got on a tangent on this, but holy shit. It's
I was talking about forums with somebody the other day, how like you can't expect anybody to use a forum anymore because everybody has their specific websites where they want to go to like engage with people. But the vibe of forums, you can't find that anywhere anymore.
Nope.
They were just nice.
Remember old Guy Online, you had Neopets, bro. You had all that shit. And now we got nothing. Now we got nothing. They got to bring back Adventure Quest and...
Jessup,
changed.
Jessup, what have we got in the news, buddy?
Well, so
what's the news looking like?
So much. First off, you can start off today by saying Remnant Entertainment, their new CEO, Jean-Charles Godeschon, believes that franchises like Alan Wake and Control should have achieved higher sales despite their critical success. Speaking with The Game Business, Godeschon emphasized that the studio has not reached half of its potential and needs to turn its critically acclaimed, highly creative stories into bigger commercial hits by expanding its audiences. That is all well and good. They've got an Annapurna thing happening soon with TV stuff. My question is, would that, by trying to make it more widely digestible, would it ruin what they're trying to do? That's just a question I have to the world. I feel like it would. But
I mean,
also
I
understand.
Agree.
I understand a company 100%. Needing money and you know, they have to be able to make games, right? But I feel like by making it very like the more people that love it, you water down what it is.
Yeah.
It seems like an unwinnable situation, but also, I mean, he's a CEO, so his whole job is to make them money. But like, if there wasn't that needed thing, I think, you know, they should be making games that continue to push the envelope and tell a creative story and do something fun rather than like, we got to sell games. But also, I think it comes down to that thing where, you know, they were operating on a hit and miss system there for a while. It wasn't until Control took off that people were thinking, oh, Remedy be making games. You know what I mean? Like they had the games, they were there, but it'd been a long time since we had, you know, Alan Wake 1 had been a while. Quantum Break didn't really do all that well. Shooty McBullet Time.
It's
been years since that was out. Both one and two. I don't think we can talk about three. And then, so it's one of those things where, I don't know. Like, they finally came back. Max Payne. Yes, I'm aware. They finally came back, and Control nailed it. It was definitely my favorite game of 2019. But also, that was 2019.
Yeah.
So they're kind of, like, crafting. Now people are clued in. They're slowly getting more and more people to play. But, like... I don't know, man. We'll see. Speaking of more and more people playing, CD Projekt Red, or I guess CD Projekt in general, announced that a third major expansion for Witcher 3 Wild Hunt, a game featuring Dodger and I as trolls. It's true. We're in that game. called Songs of the Past, which is scheduled to release in 2027 for all the things.
That's wild.
Yeah. The upcoming adventure, apparently... is being developed alongside, like, I guess Fool's Theory, which is a studio that has a bunch of people that worked on the original game. And you get to play Geralt again, and it's going to be at least some sort of connector to 4, which I would imagine, based on what I want to happen, and not anything I know. I would imagine that if you release it in 2027, you do it at the beginning of the year so that in summer at Summer Games Fest, you can do a Witcher 4 trailer or something to get people really hype on the future is what I would imagine, but I'm not making it, so I don't know. It is funny, though, to see that they started selling. I think they finally hit 65 million sold for that game.
Whoa.
And more people I know who haven't played it are now downloading it to play it. And it's great. I love you for that. Enjoy. I think Hearts of Stone is like one of my favorite expansions, period, in the history of gaming.
Oh.
So good. Then, in news that got the internet really worked up this week, Valve has implemented their price change for Steam Deck, raising the cost of both models over 40%. This is the same thing that's happening with Sony and Nintendo and Microsoft, et cetera, et cetera. The market's not great right now if you want to be a gamer.
Yeah, thanks, dude.
So under the new price structure...
How could you?
You know what? If I could hold up six fingers right now, I would as a goof, but I can't. Someone edit that in, another six finger. The 512 gigabyte version is now, this is crazy, by the way. It jumped from 549 to 789, while the 1 terabyte version jumped from 649 to 949.
God.
What's crazy, and I think what got people pissed off, actually, is that both these price hikes, come after the fact that you couldn't buy a Steam Deck. Like, they were not available to buy, and there were some intermittent availability problems, and then now they're back, and you can buy them again with a price hike. So, then Yacht Club Games, the creator of Shovel Knight, which we talked about, achieved critical acclaim for Mina the Hollower. It released, and the Metacritic's like 92. It's got some perfect scores out there. Everyone's talking about how it's like amazing, and everyone in the studio is really thrilled because, according to them, this is like a make or break for them. So I guess they dumped all their money and time in this one, and so I wish them the best of luck. And speaking of the best of luck, apparently James Bond's new 007 First Light title had the best of luck because it is the fastest selling game in IO Interactive's history. I think they sold 1.5 million copies in the first 24 hours. The game is a huge success for them. But more importantly, every single person I know who's played it has been like, Jesse, I know you loved Indiana Jones. You loved that game and how much it reminded you of the movies. Play the new Bond. It reminds you of the movies. It is like, it's so good. And I was like, all right, I'm in.
Sam has been playing it and he said it's probably his favorite game he's played this year.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Everyone has a lot of great things to say.
Yeah.
Yeah. I heard people were worried there was just going to be like Hitman, but apparently that is not the case.
It's not.
All. Yeah.
There's some similarities, you know, as with any of these like Mission Impossible, Hitman, like any games like that, where it's like you're in a situation and now you have to complete an objective, you know, but no, it's in a league of its own. I think it's very good.
Cool. Yeah, I'm very excited to play that. And then we have some releases since June is somehow already here. That's crazy. We have a bunch of games coming out. There's an insane arcade like fall from the sky simulator coming on, I believe, the 1st, I think, which is called Freefall 95. I don't even know how to describe this. It's going to be like a streamer game for sure. Literally, you plummet to Earth and you try to do cool tricks while you do like Tony Hawk before you fall to your death. That's
okay.
It. That's the game.
Sick.
Like, you're on a plane, the plane rips open and you fall, and then you do cool tricks and dodge stuff as you go down. That's the game. Like, all right, that's going to be all over streamer stuff.
Okay.
Just wait for it. If that's too insane for you, though, hey, a little sweet game called Swan Song comes out the 4th. It is a cozy puzzle game where you have like a music box, and inside you have to move the pieces, the platforms, and the music to help a little swan get to safety in the thing. It's very cute.
Cute.
If you're an old head like me, you remember this one, The 7th Guest. Well, a remake comes out on the 4th as well. the puzzle point and click with little FMV people that are like, I'm a crazy ghost or some shit. That will be there. I'm very excited to play it. I loved this game. I played it all the time as a kid. One of my favorites. Speaking of remakes, Gothic 1 is getting a remake, releasing the 5th of June. Ooh. It is the genre-defining RPG of, like, gritty RPGs back in the day of 2001. So hopefully it updates all the fun stuff in the original and keeps it dark and gritty.
Mm.
Then, hey, man, if you want to read some stuff, I mentioned this before, I'm going to say it again. If you're not reading the absolute comics from DC right now, you are missing out. They are incredible. The newest stuff from Absolute Batman just came out, and I cannot stress to you what a mind F it was, and it's so good. It's just like Batman slowly discovering something's wrong with the universe is like just wonderful. And then, because, you know, if you want to get out and you want to go to the movies for the first time in a while, Back Rooms, the horror thriller based off of director Kane Parsons' original YouTube videos and the creepypasta that has spawned about a billion video games, is coming out, and I hear it's awesome, and I'm very excited to see it. What's so crazy is it's so good that the director, who is, again, just a YouTube guy, got accused of not actually directing the movie because there's no way he could make it that good. And so then other people on set had to be like, no. Any other directors who were there was there on behalf of the studio because literally they were like, I mean, teach him what you can, but like, we didn't direct shit. We were there to help him. He directed all of it. They're like, you have to understand they're not going to let like a young dude run around with several million dollars to make a movie and not have some supervision. But like, it isn't that we directed it, which honestly is even better. I love the fact that all these directors are like, no. We were just there to like watch and see if he needed help, but like he did all of it. The man, if you watch any of his videos, like kid can direct.
This is his bread and butter. Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if he can direct any other movie, right? But when it comes to the Back Rooms, the man knows the Back Rooms. So we will get on that. And then if you are a fan of Nick Cage, right now, I believe on Amazon is the new Spider-Noir series. And I guess 2 episodes are out. And I've not watched. I want to watch with Crendor because I feel like it's needed. But I hear it is the most Nick Cage shit ever. Because Nick Cage be Cajun. I hear he is like
hell
going
110%.
So I'm here for it and I want to watch. So there you go. That's what's happening in the world.
Fantastic. Thank you so much, Jesse, for the news.
Yes.
Reem, thank you so much for joining us.
61 games.
Nope.
Nope.
All 61. We're just gonna rapid fire them.
You were like, some 61 are games like, are coming out. All 61 now.
Yeah, some of them
really
are like Booty
like,
Flicker 2000. Yeah. Honestly, go look
Buckle
at go
everybody.
To Steam. Click the not the popular upcoming, just the all upcoming, and you will see some of the craziest stuff you've ever. You'll be like, oh, we made a game of that. Okay, lovely. Yeah. A lot of like bottom of the barrel porn games, not like a lot of AI slop where you're just like, you couldn't even create the boobies yourself. How dare you?
Mm.
Oh,
those are stolen
insane.
Boobs, dude. Don't
those
like
are stolen boobs.
They're not real.
Maybe that's the way to make the AI real. Bubble pop.
Yeah. You got to tell
too
them
expensive.
The porn
and
is
boobs
fake.
Aren't even real.
Yeah.
Heavy sigh.
Heavy sigh.
Indeed.
Of valor.
Mm-hmm. Freem, tell everybody where they can find you and what you're going to be up to this week.
Oh, all right. Well, hi. Well, thank you so much again for inviting me on. It was a pleasure to just yap and hang out. I stream on Twitch. It's Twitch/Freem. I'm also on the Twitter/X .com. I'm primarily a production based person. So like I do a lot of like, you know, working on thumbnails or working on how to make your workflow efficient. But I do a lot of puzzle games. So you can find me on Twitch or on or shit posting on Twitter. But yeah, I'm going to be playing a puzzle game later today, probably around 2 p.m. CST over on my channel. And then, yeah, pretty much just going to be vibing and playing and chilling and haha.
Fantastic.
I do it for fun, so it's not a big thing for me.
Yeah.
I mean, it's big, but, you know, it's passion. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm so glad that you got to come on the show today. It was really fun having you.
Thank you so much.
Of course. Jessup, what are you up to?
I think this weekend I'm going to try and play some Bond, but I've also got a bajillion other games to play, so we'll see. We'll see what happens. But I finally have some free time, so I'm going to get that done.
I'm still just going to be playing Vintage Story, I think. It's really fun. It's really fun, guys.
Ooh.
I've started making tunnels. I'm starting to make secret tunnels into other people's houses. Yes.
Also, just a heads up, because, you know, it's that time of year. There's going to be a lot of stuff coming out in regards to Summer Games Fest. A lot of game stuff. I've already been to a few events for things I can't talk about. I played some games this week already, but I can't talk about them. So I will simply say it might be a little quiet for me for, you know, a little bit, but I'm playing some dope stuff. So the next week is going to be pretty awesome.
Nice.
Excited to see it.
Hey, gang. Thanks so much for watching Geekenders. If you enjoyed and you'd like to watch another episode or maybe another 100 episodes, you can find them all on youtube.com/JesseCox. We're also on podcasting apps and sites. You can listen to us in the car if that's more your jam. We would love to have you wherever. And I think that's it for us. So thank you so much for watching or listening. Have an amazing weekend and week, and we will see you next Friday. So long, everybody. Bye-bye.
Au revoir.
Yeah, you know what time it is. It's time for the Geekenders podcast. Mega Ran, Jesse and Daja, what up? Let's go. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow and see what the Geekenders are all about. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on stream and shout. It's Jesse and Daja, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt. Yo, another end of another long week. Got a job and a kid, I know that you're all beat. So take a second, grab a drink and vibe while we catch you up in just a matter of time. On gaming, comics, whatever you're doing. If you're nerdy like us, then you know you should tune in. Thank you for sharing our world with us. Now follow, subscribe, and turn this up. Yo, it's the weekend. Yeah, it's time to geek out. Let it begin. Go on, scream and shout. It's Jesse and Dodger, so give them a follow. Number one geek podcast without a doubt.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
It's 10:01 a.m. on a Monday, all at once. Your sales leader needs to know which deals are at risk. Your PM wants feature adoption by cohort, and your CFO needs one last graph for the board. Now your data team has to say no to somebody. Hex changes that. Ask any data question in plain English and get an analyst-grade response, all backed by your actual business context as defined by your data team. Start saying yes to more data questions at hex.ai.
This is Jana Kramer from Wind Down with Jana Kramer. Hey, quick question for the parents listening right now. When's the last time your kid asked for something and you actually felt good saying yes? Because lately, a lot of families have been hearing the same thing. Can I have Lingo Kids, please? And here's the thing. Lingo Kids is the number one entertainment platform for young kids with more than 4,000 interactive games, songs, and shows. Astronauts, wild animals, superheroes, dinosaurs. It's literally everything kids love all in one place. So when they ask for it, you can actually feel good saying yes. Download Lingo Kids for free and start exploring today. Or unlock even more amazing content with Lingo Kids Plus. And if you go with the yearly plan, you can save up to 60%. Search Lingo Kids in the App Store or Google Play. Lingo Kids. Everything kids love.